GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. A highly charged, highly partisan evening on Capitol Hill. President Trump's address to a joint session of Congress covered everything from tax cuts to tariffs and from immigration to foreign policy. And to those government workers fired by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency.
Many more have been found out and exposed and swiftly terminated by a group of very intelligent, mostly young people. Headed up by Elon, and we appreciate it.
In the Democratic response, Senator Alyssa Slotkin questioning Trump's new tariffs on goods from Mexico, Canada, and China, asking what happened to Trump's promise to bring prices down.
Grocery and home prices are going up, not down, and he hasn't laid out a credible plan to deal with either of those.
During the speech, Democrats staged both vocal and silent protests. The only applause from Democrats was when Trump announced that Ukraine wanted to restart peace negotiations. This is ABC News. A Hong Kong-based conglomerate has agreed to sell its controlling stake in a subsidiary that operates ports near the Panama Canal to a consortium including BlackRock Incorporated. It effectively puts the ports under American control and comes after President Trump accused China of interfering with canal operations. It appears a planned resentencing hearing for Lyle and Eric Menendez will not happen this month.
In a social media post, Lyle Menendez wrote the resentencing hearing set for the brothers this month will not occur. A delay was expected after Governor Gavin Newsom ordered the state parole board to investigate if the brothers would pose a risk to the public if they were to be released. That report will be given to the judge and could take some time for the board to put together. But Newsom's move indicates he might be considering clemency for the brothers. Lyle Menendez writing, hang tight, keep the faith. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Police on Long Island investigating how a teenager got a hold of a marijuana gummy, handed them out to about a dozen schoolmates, 11 middle schoolers sent to the hospital. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbush Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Another Brewers pitcher injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers manager Pat Murphy says he now has half a dozen pitchers dealing with injuries in spring training. The latest, Aaron Ashby, the lefty pitching last night against the Reds, had to leave the game with an apparent strained oblique muscle. The Reds went on to win 5-4. Ashby to undergo an MRI.
Even though it's frustrating, but just kind of, you know, what the timing feels like going on the mound.
The team assigned 36-year-old lefty Jose Quintana, who spent the last 2 years with the New York Mets. Basketball tonight. The Bucks are on the road in Atlanta to take on the Hawks. College hoops, number 12th ranked Wisconsin in the Twin Cities, 7:30 tomorrow night for a border battle with Minnesota. Did the Badgers' lack of shots fail them at Michigan State Sunday? Greg Gard.
Yeah, well, we had three possessions there at the end where we kind of had ball screen defense breakdowns is a word I'll use because I'm not going to use the word I use with the team.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Kieran Culkin is now an Oscar winner, having won the award for Best Supporting Actor last Sunday night. However, if Culkin had his way, someone else would have won. Just 2 weeks before the film written by Jesse Eisenberg was to start shooting, Culkin said he almost quit because the last season of Succession went on longer than anticipated and he wanted to spend time with his family. Culkin also won the Golden Globe and Screen Actors Guild Award for his performance. Being a good dad only goes so far. Speaking of the Culkins, Kieran Culkin has come a long way from playing Fuller McAllister in Home Alone alongside his brother Macaulay. Macaulay attended after parties with his wife Brenda and said he knew his younger brother was going to win because of where they sat him in proximity to the stage. The older Culkin was asked if he would see his brother later that night, and his response was, "I'm not sure. He's a busy guy." He's now Academy Award-winning actor Kieran Culkin. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some heavy rainfall in the overnight and steady temperatures in the mid and upper 30s. A blustery northeast wind. On Wednesday, snow will develop across the area as temperatures falling into the upper 20s. Total accumulation 1 to 2 inches. It's 39 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
At 3 p.m. for Broad Appeal, we talk to Wisconsin Senator Dianne Hesselbein about her billionaire overlord and Trump's plan to gut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Tuesday, March 4th. Today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk is $3.18, up a penny from yesterday. And the average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, $6.24, also up a penny since yesterday.
With a major
hike. When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
Good to know. We have a very, very busy show coming up for you today at 10:30. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio will be joining us. We're going to be talking about the Supreme Court race between Brad Schimmel, Mr. Commemorative Coin Fan, and Susan Crawford, and something that he said that kind of got glossed over a little bit, referring to the results of the 2020 election, that I think is kind of important. And we're also going to talk with Pat about runaway seems to be the new GOP slogan when it comes to actually, I don't know, talking and appearing in front of their constituents.
Oh, yeah.
They're not happy.
Yeah.
They're not liking it. And so they're just not going to do it anymore.
It's gone from runaway to stay home.
Yeah, stay home. And yeah. So we'll talk about that with Pat Kreitlow. After the 11 o'clock news, Allison Madison is going to join us. She is the program manager for Wisconsin Saltwise. And we know that we've used salt in Wisconsin for a long time when things get icy and things like that. Unfortunately, a lot of that stuff runs off into our waterways. And so there are some alternates that municipalities are trying to get away from the salt a little bit. So Allison is going to talk to us about that in the last half hour of the show, as we always do. We will lighten things up a little bit. Today it's going to be, thanks, I'll pass on that. It's Punchki Day.
Yeah.
I drove by an O&H bakery in Racine this morning. It was crazy.
Of course.
It was more so than right before Christmas.
We'll talk about more later, but you said that a couple of times. I have a thought on that.
Okay.
So, but stick around.
Yeah, it's Punchki Day, so that kind of got me on the idea of, yeah, that's fine. Not for me.
I'll pass.
So what is your, I'll pass on that. Everybody loves it. Everybody else, ooh, I can't wait to get one of X. And then you're like, yeah, no.
Are we talking only desserts today, or are we talking?
Today is dessert specific.
Dessert specific.
Dessert specific at 11:33. And we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the 911 emergency edition with a little audio extra included on that. So I hope you can stick around for that. Wanted to start off, though, we have been accused of fear-mongering.
Grr, everyone, are you scared of us?
When we talk about the Trump administration coming for Social Security. And I stumbled across this little clip. Elon Musk, co-president, appearing on the very popular Joe Rogan podcast. Mm-hmm. Calvin, I believe we have a clip from Elon Musk talking about Social Security. Can we play that clip, please?
Well, I mean, the government's one big permit scheme, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, you can tell me better than anybody.
Social Security is the biggest Ponzi scheme of all time.
The biggest Ponzi scheme of all time, co-president Elon Musk saying about Social Security. Of course, this as calls continue to increase about removing contribution caps for really, really, really rich people like him.
Mm-hmm. Who fulfill their cap in like a day.
I bet he does it in a couple hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the cap is $164,000.
I believe so, yeah.
That's where, if you don't get how this works, you pay up to $164,000 mm-hmm. into social. That portion is taxed for Social Security. Anything beyond that is not.
And I think Elon is using the Ponzi scheme comparison, because you and I spoke about this before the show started, and people my age and younger can see why you'd want to call it a Ponzi scheme. I mean, he's not wrong in how he describes it.
As far as the structure is concerned.
The structure is we pay into Social Security. If I pay into Social Security every Friday, every other Friday, those checks are going out. I don't know when, but they go out immediately after that.
To someone.
To someone else.
Right.
So there can be a notion of robbing Peter to pay Paul and the insolvency issue. But the problem is we've known that Social Security has had problems for decades. And anytime we try to put forth a solution, like raising caps on millionaires and billionaires, then they just want to talk it down. They want to say things like this. It's a Ponzi scheme. Okay, well, where's your fix? So it's fine. You can go on Joe Rogan and talk about how bad it is and what the problem is. But what are your long-term solution fixes to the problem? Not just sitting there talking about it. And this, because it's something I think about all the time now. Because, I mean, I don't expect to have at this time anything anymore, because they're going to be cutting.
By the time you get old enough to retire.
Yeah, if I retire by, let's just say, 68 years old, I'll have very little or nothing there. And I'm really wondering, I've said it before on the show, is I'm wondering people my age and younger, if we have grounds for a lawsuit. Because I've invested 35 years of my work life into Social Security as an agreement. And if there's nothing there, then can I get it? I'd like a check, reimburse me something, because this is ridiculous. But I get what you're saying. And it's a good, honestly, I think it's a good comparison, but that's just words. Where are your solutions? And if cutting is your solution, no.
Well, it's interesting that you say, where's your solution?
Yeah.
Because it just turns out we have a clip from Senator Bill Cassidy.
Ah.
On how we can solve the Social Security issues. Calvin,
can't wait.
Let's play this clip, please, from Senator Bill Cassidy.
Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy responded, "The Social Security Trust Fund will run short in 2033. If we do nothing, 8 years from now, all beneficiaries will be hit with a 24% cut. I have a big idea to fix the problem, create a trust fund, and invest in the U.S. economy. Capitalism and hard work can save us."
Wait. That's the answer? Capitalism and hard work is the answer to fixing Social Security.
Or there's a trust fund we put into? I thought correct me if I'm wrong, Social Security is the trust fund that I have put my money in through working in a capitalistic society and working hard since the age of 12. So Cassidy is really just saying, he's rebooting Social Security. It's like a really, no one asked for the reboot of Dirty Dancing and no one wants this. So explain to me, Senator Cassidy, what that in fact means.
Well, right. In practical, actually actionable things.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of words.
Yeah.
It's just lots and lots of words.
I have an idea. Okay, I have an idea to solve Social Security.
Yes.
First, we find a bag of beans. Then we go to a local market and we try to find some, you know, maybe shady salesman and say, hey, do you want to trade these beans for, like, you know, a cow. And then I'm telling the story backwards, but still, it's Jack and the Beanstalk. The point is like, we can say whatever we want. We can just say a bunch of things. Capitalism will save us. How?
Well, exactly. This is an article from Yahoo Finance. Employees contribute 6.2% of their wages up to a maximum of $176,100.
Yeah.
And U.S. employees match that. Employers match that as part of their non-wage labor costs. This is known as the pay-as-you-go system. But again, if they just raised that cap of $176,000, that would probably give Social Security a pretty healthy boost.
And I'm not even asking them to make it like relative, like 176.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say people like Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, and $1 million is nothing to him. It's nothing to him.
Rich, seriously.
Raise his to $1 million. Raise all billionaires to $1 million from where it is. They'll never miss the money. They'll never see the money. They'll never know the money was there or gone. Just raise to $1 million. Holy cow. That'll fix it. I'll pay a little bit more if need to. Like, let's all do this together as a cooperative. I'm sorry, I said cooperative. Didn't mean communism, folks.
That's socialist of you.
But like, are they looking to take away the caps and just say, like, all right, Elon, you make $10 billion a year. Now you have to put $1 billion in. I don't even want that. Just make it $1 million for someone like him. A percent of a percent of a percent of a percent.
Ron Wyden, who is a Democrat, said Doge's attack on Social Security, in my view, is a first step on the path to privatizing Social Security. Democrats have also blasted Musk's characterization of Social Security as a Ponzi scheme. Quote, Elon Musk says it's a Ponzi scheme. The richest man in the world is telling Americans that earned benefits they depend upon and they paid into are a scam. They are not a scam. And Americans know it. That's from Chuck Schumer.
I understand where he's coming from, Chuck, but you have to talk to younger people. They do see it as a Ponzi scheme.
Calvin is our resident young person here. Calvin, I'm curious. Social Security?
Do you think you'll ever get it?
Does this ever come up among you and your friends?
To be completely honest with you, Social Security is one of those things that I don't know what if I would take it for. Take it for granted is the right word because I never received it, but it's just kind of those things. Well, yeah, part of your paycheck disappears to it and you'll get something when you retire. And that's as much thought as I put into it.
It's kind of this amorphous thing out there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
I think that Chuck Schumer is correct in how he's framing it, but he has to say it better to younger people. And he also has to come with a viable solution. Not
it can't just be a capitalism and hard work is going to fix it.
I can't buy a sandwich with capitalism. I can buy a sandwich with money. How are you going to make me have money when I'm old? And 2033, that is 8 years away. I will be 55, far away from the age of retirement.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers spring training is underway. Crew taking on the A's this Thursday, 7.05 p.m. You can listen on several of our Civic Media Brewers affiliates, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and WBZH in Hayward. The Crew and the A's this Thursday night. Little preseason action at 7.05 p.m. Right before the break, we were talking about Social Security co-president Elon Musk on the Joe Rogan podcast, talking about how Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. And it's got to go, apparently. So we're taking your calls, taking your comments about Social Security, how that has affected your life. Cassandra on the live stream says, my dad died when I was five. I received his Social Security. It helped my mom survive. Now she relies on it to pay her own bills. And I think there are a lot of folks that are in that same position. Of course, there have been suggestions that all we have to do is raise the cap. The cap right now is $176,100. That's what you, if you, up to that point, you are paying 6.2% on that to fund Social Security. And after that, it's all free and clear. So I don't see why guys like Elon and Jeff Bezos and some of those folks in that upper stratosphere that the vast majority of us will never see should not have to pay a little bit more.
That's one way they actually could, like, they could say, look, take $2 million of my money every single year and put it into Social Security. I'm not going to take Social Security. I don't need it. There's one small, tiny way to give back. Just one. And it's directly through the government, too. It's not charity. It's, hey, let me invest a little bit more. Perfect.
855-752-4842. If you'd like to join us, Linda from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Linda. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Hello. Yes. It's about Social Security. You know how people, unless they experience something, they don't really know the full experience of it. You know, Social Security, the word is said so often, we forget the second word, and that's security. I have been receiving Social Security for about 8 years now, and I want everybody to get it. I want our young people to get it. Once you get to that point where you start collecting it, it really means something to you. It is what it is. Security, I know that it's not as much. Many people living on that alone have a very hard time. But even this talk of not having it, it makes me sad. Everybody should have it. Wait till you get to the age where you can collect it. It will mean a lot to you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Linda. Really appreciate the call.
And when we hear from people like you, Linda, and we a couple weeks ago we had this discussion, we heard from so many of you folks talking about what it means to have Social Security. I think one of the other big problems is that all of these individuals we're hearing from are all people who will never need Social Security in their entire lives. These are people who are
you mean people like Elon?
Elon, senators, congressmen, other business people, presidents, anybody who has got more value than maybe, say, $5 million to their name, they'll be fine without Social Security, but they're giving us all the solutions we need, like hard work and capitalism.
Well, I have one personal experience with someone who said himself that he had more money than God.
God has a lot of money.
He would share that with his coworkers. Yeah, I have more money than God.
Yeah.
Trust me, nobody wanted his Social Security more than that man.
I know, but there's a difference between being like, you know, popular and being cheap. But like all these people we see on TV, most of them will never need a dime of it.
And this guy didn't need a dime of it either.
They're not people who should be proposing the solutions either. I don't want to listen to Elon Musk's ideas on Social Security.
Kathy from Whitefish Bay is on the line. Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say about Social Security?
Two things I want to say. One, we should think about upping the cap for the salary for collecting Social Security.
Okay.
Instead of just talking about getting things out. And the other thing is, if you wanted to look for more revenue, you should get rid of the loophole for carried interest forward. I think both of those would increase the revenue. The other thing I want to say is I received a flyer yesterday for Brad Schimmel.
Yep.
Not one thing on that flyer said anything about him. It said you need to elect him to make sure that Trump's agenda can happen. And it was a picture of him getting up from the Butler assassination. It only told me about Trump and told me how bad Susan Crawford was.
But nothing about Schimmel.
That's the way nothing about Schimmel.
I think I got that same thing delivered to my house, too, yesterday, Kathy.
Appreciate that,
Kathy.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's interesting. Why is he not touting his support for the 1849 abortion ban? I mean, come on, Brad.
Where's the flaw, Brad?
Own it.
Yeah.
Embrace it, yeah. Brad. Come on. We're going to talk more about Brad Schimmel and the whole runaway GOP attitude now that they're having constituents show up who are not entirely happy with them.
No.
That's after the 10:30 news. Jack from Miramax has been very patient. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. A couple things about Social Security. First of all, it is technically, by the law that established it, it's not really supposedly a pension program. It is old age insurance. And if you pay into any kind of an insurance, you expect that when you're eligible to receive it, you get the payment back out.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, people need to understand this. We've got all of these legislators that are screaming and yelling about Social Security. We got to cut it because we have to cut the national debt. And we have to cut the deficit. By law, Social Security is a separate trust fund that cannot be counted towards the deficit nor the debt. Not only that, but the facts are that, you know, all that debt and that money, a lot of that is being borrowed annually from guess where? The Social Security Trust Fund.
Yep.
And finally, if we reached about 400 and some odd thousand dollars that people would pay in, that would stabilize it for the foreseeable future.
Thanks a lot, Jack. Appreciate it. We are up against the clock. News is coming up next. Pratt Kreitlow will be with us when we return. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. We're global if you carry the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
There's trouble, but the devil goes away.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. A highly charged, highly partisan evening on Capitol Hill. President Trump's address to a joint session of Congress covered everything from tax cuts to tariffs and from immigration to foreign policy. And to those government workers fired by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency.
Many more have been found out and exposed and swiftly terminated by a group of very intelligent, mostly young people, headed up by Elon, and we appreciate it.
In the Democratic response, Senator Alyssa Slotkin questioning Trump's new tariffs on goods from Mexico, Canada, and China, asking what happened to Trump's promise to bring prices down.
Grocery and home prices are going up, not down, and he hasn't laid out a credible plan to deal with either of those.
During the speech, Democrats staged both vocal and silent protests. The only applause from Democrats was when Trump announced that Ukraine wanted to restart peace negotiations. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Another Brewers pitcher injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers manager Pat Murphy says he now has half a dozen pitchers dealing with injuries in spring training. The latest, Aaron Ashby, the lefty pitching last night against the Reds, had to leave the game with an apparent strained oblique muscle. The Reds went on to win 5-4. Ashby to undergo an MRI.
Even though it's frustrating, but just kind of, you know, what the timing feels like going on the mound.
The team has signed 36-year-old lefty Jose Quintana, who spent the last 2 years with the New York Mets. Basketball tonight. The Bucks are on the road in Atlanta to take on the Hawks. College hoops, number 12th ranked Wisconsin in the Twin Cities, 7:30 tomorrow night for a border battle with Minnesota. Did the Badgers' lack of shots fail them at Michigan State Sunday? Greg Gard.
Yeah, well, we had three possessions there at the end where we kind of had ball screen defense breakdowns is a word I'll use because I'm not going to use the word I use with the team.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A complete unknown drew a complete goose egg at the Oscars despite 8 Academy Award nominations. To make matters worse, according to The Hollywood Reporter, the subject of the Bob Dylan biopic, also known as Bob Dylan, was invited to both present and perform at the ceremony, but declined on both fronts. Mick Jagger ended up presenting in his place. At the beginning of the show, host Conan O'Brien joked that Timothy Chalamet learned how to sing so well in preparation for playing Bob Dylan, he almost didn't get the role. Tabloids love their clickbait. After finding out that Mikey Madison won the Oscar for Best Actress as Anora, tabloids made a big stink that Demi Moore gritted her teeth and seemed upset. A closer look at the situation by a lip reader revealed Moore turned to the person next to her and said, "Nice." One clickbait tabloid in particular said later in its article that Moore was very happy for Madison. Now that's journalism. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some heavy rainfall in the overnight and steady temperatures in the mid and upper 30s. A blustery northeast wind. On Wednesday, snow will develop across the area as temperatures falling into the upper 20s. Total accumulation 1 to 2 inches. It's 39 at our studios.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you. And let me tell you, being a mom is tiresome. And you need a break. So take one at Mom Prom on Saturday, March 8th at the Hilton Paper Valley Hotel from 7 till 10 p.m. Grab those old prom dresses, homecoming dresses. Heck, there's somebody with a pile of bridesmaid dresses somewhere. And have fun and let loose. You could even get named prom queen. It may be called Mom Prom, but it's open to all ladies 21 and over. So head to WGBW.FM, click events, and find out more.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you calling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 25% tariffs against Mexico and Canada are in place. What does that mean for us at the grocery store? Darren Von Ruden joins us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform shedding more users than a husky blowing its winter coat. He is back from Up North News Radio. Pat Kreitlow is here. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you guys?
We are good. Glad to see you. Glad to have you join the show. All kinds of things we are going to kick around for the next half hour. And we did want to spend a little time, Pat, right before you joined us, we were talking about Social Security and co-president Elon Musk now calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme and hearing from lots of people about just how important it is to their lives. For one thing, nobody's getting rich on Social Security.
No, no. And when you talked about, Elon Musk won't miss $1 million, I read and I want to substantiate it at some place, but he makes roughly $7 to $8 million a day in taxpayer handouts. He is one of the nation's leading welfare queens, if you want to use that kind of pejorative. That's the person you need to be looking at first, not some veteran. Not somebody on disability, nothing like that. And by raising the cap, which we can do very easily, we can solve the concerns of anybody like Calvin, who at some point in the next 20 years is actually going to start paying attention to this thing, and everybody else who is all, we're never going to get it. It'll be gone. My generation thought that too.
Yeah.
My generation looked at what Ronald Reagan was doing and saying, oh, there won't be any Social Security. There will be, so long as there are trustworthy public servants in there willing to find a way to make it happen. So we don't go back to the epidemic of old age poverty that we used to have in this country.
It's interesting. This broke too right before we were getting on, just as we were getting on the air this morning. You know, they made a whole bunch of cuts already at the IRS, and the story I saw this morning said that what the Biden administration had done when they added those IRS agents was they used those to focus on the really wealthy people who have the lawyers to find the loopholes, to find them different ways to cheat. Well, now they're getting rid of that. So if they can continue to game the tax system, then I don't see why we can't raise the cap.
100%.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to be negative, to say Social Security won't be there, or, oh, there's an army of IRS agents coming after me. If you get past the talking points put forward by the people who are trying to dodge taxes in the first place, you'd see that what the Biden administration did was what you just said. Hire, yes, many more agents, but also many more people at the IRS who made customer service run more smoothly. Mm-hmm. Now it will be tougher to get through to the IRS with tax questions.
Yes.
And it will again lead people to go, oh, the government is broken. I can't believe how bad it is. Which again comes back to what has been one of my mottos for the longest time. Those who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. They want it to fail, and this has become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about as well is, you know, Elon went on Joe Rogan's podcast and simply called it a Ponzi scheme with no real solution added.
Same as Ron Johnson.
Right? Yeah. But Calvin, can you pull up that clip of Senator Bill Cassidy giving one of the most nothing answers in the history of man about the how to fix Social Security? Calvin, can you hit that?
Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy responded, the Social Security Trust Fund will run short in 2033. If we do nothing, 8 years from now, all beneficiaries will be hit with a 24% cut. I have a big idea to fix the problem, create a trust fund and invest in the U.S. economy. Capitalism and hard work can save us.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. I thought that's
It's word, lots and lots of words.
Yes.
He just described Social Security.
Exactly. And that's the thing is they want to break something because it feeds into that narrative that all things government must be broken. And then we're supposed to trust them to fix it. And what they would create would look the same. And look, folks, we already have a model for this. The Affordable Care Act. We kept, how often did we hear repeal and replace? Repeal and replace. Repeal and replace. We said, okay, what's your replacement? I have concepts of a plan.
Oh, man.
Is where we've left off. If you don't have, this is very simple. This is very simple, folks. If anybody is trashing Social Security and you say, what is your plan, your actual plan? Not, oh, a little bit of elbow grease is going to get this done. No, no, no. What's the bill look like? Draft the bill. God knows they draft bills for everything else out there.
Seriously.
Mostly targeting the trans community, but that's another discussion. They know how to write a bill. So write the bill.
Yeah.
Write the bill.
Write the bill. Yeah, and put it in actual, I don't know, like you said, actionable things. Actionable things, not just lots of word salad about capitalism and hard work.
Let's see what you're going to do. It comes back to a recent comment by Derek Van Orden saying, oh, I would never allow Medicaid or Social Security to be touched, but we are going to make all these cuts. They always hide behind the number. We're going to cut $2 trillion. They won't tell you what. And then they say, well, I never said we were going to cut Social Security and Medicaid.
Right.
Like, we can't connect the dots.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that like those cuts are going to come from somewhere, and they're going to come from their favorite places. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act. And the you want to see angrier town hall meetings? Tack those three onto the Social Security that people are worried about right now. You tack on Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act. They are going to rush those buildings they work in.
Well, and that's why they're not going to do them anymore.
We've solved that problem.
Yes.
We have solved that problem of angry town halls.
Yeah.
We just stop having them.
We're just not going to do them. Exactly. And this actually came out. The chair of the NRCC, Richard Hudson, dramatically told members that no one should be doing town halls. Likening it to 2017, protests at town halls and district offices are going to get even worse. So just don't do them. Yeah, run away, guys. Run away.
Well, the problem is that if you go to a place like myvote.wi.gov, you can put in your address and you can find out their field offices. You can find out their home offices. You can find out their Washington, D.C. or Madison offices. The problem is it's very hard to hide when you are a publicly elected official. So they might not be going to the library for the town hall meeting. Well, Derek Van Orden, perfect example. Decided not to show up.
Right.
And just moved it.
Staffer.
And the people found out and went there.
And they did because, again, people want answers. They deserve answers from their member of Congress. Keep in mind, nobody said to be violent.
Right.
Don't even come close to it, Derek Van Orden on the Capitol grounds on January 6th.
Yeah, no kidding.
Don't come anywhere near that. But show up. Let your voice be heard. And then once you've registered that so that they know where you stand, well, then maybe focus on who else might be better to represent you in Congress the next time around.
Yep.
And I also think this is a great opportunity for Democrats to use this to their advantage. I don't know why they aren't all doing town halls in these deep red communities where the Republicans won't go because they're afraid.
Well, because again, then they're left to defend essentially the current system and the whole wave of voter anger, not just in the U.S., but around the world these days has been that
with the incumbents
system. Yeah, the current system is broken. And so they don't want to be perceived as standing for a broken system. All right, well, fine. Then again, kind of like what I just said about Republicans, write the bill. Well, then write out what you want to do that's going to change this current broken system for the better and start talking it up. And if you want a platform for it, I got one here at 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. or 6 to 8 a.m. I got shows all over the place where people can come on and say, you know what? Here's what we would do instead if Democrats were put in power, and it's not status quo.
Yep.
Pat Kreitlow is our guest from Up North News Radio. You can catch him every Monday through Friday, early shift from 6 to 8 a.m., and we are talking about town halls that Republicans aren't going to do anymore because people were unhappy with them. Glenn Grossman.
There it is.
From Wisconsin.
was on WISN's Upfront over the weekend. And, of course, now the whole narrative is they're all – George Soros is paying everybody, Pat. I'm waiting. But apparently George Soros is paying all these protesters. They're all paid protesters who showed up at these town halls over the last week with lots of unhappy constituents. One guy who was being interviewed by Nicole Wallace on MSNBC said, if they were going to pay a protester, don't you think they'd pick someone younger and more better looking than me?
It's the hottest protest I've ever seen in my life.
But Glenn Grothman weighing in with his take on these less than warm town halls. Calvin, can we play that clip, please?
Confirm.
Before you go, Congressman, I want to ask you about your town halls up in the Fox Valley last week. When was the last time you saw packed rooms like that?
It's not something that we have had lately. Obviously, with the new presidency, I think there's a lot of anger among some Democrats. But I can tell you, if you didn't look at the town hall, if you just went to the Friday night fish fries I attend, or the fundraisers for the schools or various service groups, overall, we got very positive feedback on what we're doing in Washington.
He does love those fish fries and those pancake breakfasts.
I think there's something really interesting, though, he says there. If you don't look at the town halls, don't pay attention. That problem isn't in the room anymore. It's gone. Magic. Just go to the places where people are having good food and having fun. You know, the kind of place where someone's going, a crowd of people are going to confront a congressman like a Friday fish fry. That's so disingenuous to say, don't look at what the problem. Have some pancakes.
Yes. You don't just get to go to, you know, the friendly places. I mean, you can, but
yeah,
what good are you then? I mean, I certainly as a state senator in a purple district went to plenty of places where there were plenty of people that wanted to bend my ear.
I bet.
And where we had to have, you know, a friendly discussion, kind of like what I tried to have with some of our Facebook commenters this morning to say, look, let's look for the common ground on here. But instead, if you want to be like people commenting on Facebook right now saying, oh, it's just mostly bored government retirees. Well, if you want to live in that alternative reality, you're welcome to. But the rest of us have to deal with the real people out here making $65 a day on Social Security while Elon Musk is getting $8 million a day in SpaceX contracts through the federal government. We'd rather chase down where the real waste and fraud and abuse is.
Well, Pat, they're just agitators who are Democrats, so don't worry about that. But we had a discussion a couple weeks ago about this, and everybody who called in said that they needed their Social Security to survive. And even in some cases, they had to use their Social Security to decide on can they pay for heat or food.
Or
food,
meds.
Or meds. Meds mm-hmm. or rent. This is not money they're buying boats with. And these are real people in real situations who are having real problems. And I guarantee you, not every single person in those town halls were dyed-in-the-wool blue Democrats. These are people who are worried about a contract they signed when they first started paying into Social Security being broken by the government.
We've seen a lot of folks at those town halls who are all there. They're there because they were they're veterans.
Yes.
Or they're concerned about veterans' benefits and things like that. You can't tell me that all those people are only disaffected Democrats. I don't believe it.
Another would be farmers, for example, who are seeing their contracts broken, that they were going to get certain conservation payments. Some of those same farmers who are now going to get slammed because of the tariffs that started today as China, you know, gets its retribution on U.S. agriculture products. There are plenty of people who voted for Donald Trump who have been saying, if only to themselves, the past couple of weeks, this is not exactly what I was expecting. Maybe they don't oppose him yet, but there's a lot going on. I kind of thought he was going to be more like a businessman, really look at the books and be, you know, again, a scalpel rather than a
chainsaw.
You mean like the first term?
Well, don't worry about it. Ron Johnson on the 25% tariffs that kicked in on Canada and Mexico. Ron says, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Get together with Susan Collins and make a T-shirt. Pat Kreitlow is here. We're going to continue our conversation. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Ready?
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Kerrigan Brothers Winery in Kaukauna, Stillmank Brewing Company in Green Bay, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, and Old Bavarian Brewing Company in Appleton. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can catch Civic Media's special coverage tonight of the second Trump administration's joint address to Congress. It is tonight, beginning just before 8 p.m., all across civic media. Donald Trump addressing the joint session of Congress tonight. I'm sure Marjorie Taylor Greene will be there on her best behavior.
Wearing the nicest stuff.
Yeah, and she won't be screeching like a howler monkey. But anyway, Pat Kreitlow is here from Up North News Radio. And in the time that we have left, Pat, I want to talk a little bit about Brad commemorative coin fan Schimmel running against Susan Crawford. And boy, the Musk bucks are pouring into Wisconsin because all of these mailers are going out now. As one of our callers mentioned in an earlier segment, it's pro-Brad Schimmel. It doesn't mention him at all. It barely mentions Brad Schimmel. It's more about show your support for Trump's agenda.
Yes, it's a straight up attack piece combined with whatever metaphor you want to use to pledging his loyalty to Trump, whether you want to use boots or posterior or whatever the case may be. And he's telling us who he would be as a justice. He would be the kind of justice that would join with three other conservatives and who back in 2020 indicated that they might be willing to go along with Donald Trump's challenge of the election results in Wisconsin, which would have created a true constitutional crisis. Brad Schimmel's giving you no reason, none whatsoever, to think that he wouldn't be anything than what he was as Attorney General under Scott Walker. And that is just a rabid partisan. And he's playing this campaign by the rules that were written by Scott Walker and a Republican legislature back when they were in office. I would point folks to Dan Schaefer's recombobulation area, where he's got a guest column from Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, who outlines all the ways that Scott Walker and Republicans basically blew up any and all limits, contribution limits to Supreme Court races, allowing millionaires and billionaires to come in and support people like Schimmel, who has been courting millionaires and billionaires to donate, even though as a court candidate, as a justice candidate, he's not actually supposed to.
Yeah, not supposed to do that. Yeah, Elon, well, and as we learned yesterday, Elon has a stake in what some cases that might end up in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court regarding Tesla dealerships in Wisconsin. So Elon wants to make sure that his guy is going to be on the court to rule in his favor if and when these cases come before that body. And speaking of Brad Schimmel, we talked about this yesterday, and I miss this. This was in a Washington Post article. When Trump lost the 2020 election in Wisconsin, he challenged the results before the state Supreme Court. Of course, it was Brian Hagedorn who sided with the liberals in accepting the results of the election. Asked if he believed the Supreme Court ruled correctly, Schimmel paused for several seconds and said, quote, "You know what? To be honest, I didn't spend any time reviewing that. I've got a day job. I didn't go through that. I don't know the answer to what I don't know," unquote.
What a challenging day job that must be. Oh, yeah, as a judge.
It sounds
to not read up on the law and the biggest legal case before the country at that moment. Oh, you poor busy fellow.
He just didn't. It's like, that's the Hovde excuse.
Yeah.
Why would I study for this job before I get the job? I mean, come on, Brad. Be a little bit more creative than that.
Again, it's just a basic thing. It's just a basic litmus test. Who won the 2020 election? And if you waffle on that even in the slightest, you have no sense of having you cannot have earned any public trust at all if you can't say that most basic thing, because, you know, it might upset the king.
Sue from Franklin texting in, listening on WAUK. I got a flyer last week with Brad Schimmel, promoting Brad Schimmel. I wrote in big letters, "No way would I vote for this guy. These are all lies." Then I tore it in half, removed my name and address, and I mailed it back to where it came from.
I was saying to Jane, it must be amazing to have petty vengeance post money. Like here's my stamps to respond to my enemies.
I've got a little time. I could do that. You know, it's a price of a
civic
stamp.
Civic engagement comes in all forms.
many
times we vote.
Yes.
Sometimes we volunteer. Sometimes we write letters. Sometimes we tear up other people's mail and send it back to them. It all works.
Also, Liz from Saukville texting in. My husband and I went to a protest in Grossman's 6th District to protest Trump over the weekend. We were not paid. Yeah, I don't think most people were paid. Isn't there a general address we can write to George Soros and say, "Hey, you owe me a check"?
It just says in the letter, "Money, please."
See, please send me money.
Yeah. Again, it's so easy to say, well, it's you know, the billionaire on this side or the billionaire on that side. There's a great way to get around that, folks. And that's put the limits back in place so that millionaires and billionaires can't buy agitators if that's what they're really doing. We have ways to fix this.
And I just wish that Brad Schimmel would embrace his own positions, instead of putting a picture on his flyers of Donald Trump or whoever, put a picture of yourself embracing the 1849 abortion ban. Brad, come on. You're all about that. You support that. You've talked about it in the past. Now you don't want to talk about it. Why is that? One wonders.
I know. It's like there's an election coming up. No, it couldn't be.
Pat Kreitlow, catch him every morning, weekday morning, 6 to 8 a.m. across the network on Up North News Radio. Thank you so very much, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Have a great day.
News coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk a little show business with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Rich LoCascio from Civic Media's WRJN drops by to talk pro wrestling. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. President Trump speaking to Congress Tuesday night in an address that often read like a campaign stump speech. Trump summing up his tumultuous first weeks in office, laying out his plans for the months ahead, defending the tariffs on key U.S. trading partners and his hard line on immigration.
Protect our homeland and complete the largest deportation operation in American history.
And says ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
He urged Republicans in the House to support the big, beautiful bill that he is hoping will see to the extension and expansion of his tax cuts. He threatened House Republicans who don't get behind it. He said, I don't believe the people will ever vote you into office. And he says he's doing them a big favor by letting them know that.
Senator Alyssa Slotkin delivering the Democratic rebuttal.
Wants change, but there's a responsible way to make change and a reckless way. And we can make that change without forgetting who we are as a country.
This is ABC News. Former Los Angeles